World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes the political economics column. And we're going to address Germany. Olaf Scholz, the chancellor of Germany, and his government is a coalition. So we're speaking to the Reichstag, to the German people, that they're doing something right. I know it's an outlier position, but we're going to take it. Joe, a very good evening to you. Germany's doing something right, and it begins with the Zeitenwende speech of February 2022. How so? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John, it's military spending, if you can believe it. I mean, you're absolutely right to prepare listeners for a shock if we are going to talk about Germany doing the right thing on military spending, but it is happening. So Germany, Europe's largest economy, should be an anchor of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, really thinks of itself as an anchor and a major participant in NATO. Military spending has lagged for years. They were way, way below the target that NATO has set for its members of spending 2% of GDP on defense each year and devoting 20% of that spending to equipment and procurement. So we get to the invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022, and a few days later, Chancellor Olaf Scholz delivers the Zeitenwende, or turning point speech. And the most concrete action item that he includes in there is a promise that Germany is finally going to get back up to that 2% goal. And as a down payment on this, he's going to create a 100 billion euro procurement fund, which they will use to buy new fighter jets and other equipment to make sure that Germany finally has a military that can really pull its weight within NATO. And guess what? They've actually been starting to do that. This fund really exists. They enshrined it in the Constitution so that it would not be subject to the normal fiscal rules. So they have exempted it from the normal kind of guns versus butter horse trading that you encounter in a lot of European politics. And more than that, they're starting to ask themselves what's going to happen when that 100 billion euro fund runs out, because they've realized that the 2% target is not going to go away. They might even need to spend more than 2%. So what are they going to do after this fund is exhausted in 2027 and they need to start funding all of that military expenditure on balance sheet out of the regular budget? And they do not have any answers to these questions, but I just think that it's worth pausing for a moment to reflect on how remarkable it is that German politicians are even asking this kind of question. I think that that is a big sign of how things have changed in Europe over the past couple of years.
The German budget's been in trouble, if I remember a column you've written, having to do with the fact that they pay attention to revenue and spending, and they have rules that are clearly not useful in Washington. If I remember correctly, they had an idea to use a fund that was not applicable to their budget and were forbidden by the courts or maybe public opinion, running into trouble, a crisis, you called it. And now we have this 100 billion euro fund that could be used to plug holes. Instead, they're holding on to the original concept. What do they know that we don't know in the United States, Joe? Have you reflected that? Because Congress only spends money. It never worries about revenue coming in.
Well, this is going to be a big part of the dilemma and the debate that Germany is going to face, which, again, is actually ends up being kind of good news on the military spending front. So Germany has a balanced budget amendment. They call it the debt brake, and it imposes very strict limits on the government's ability to run fiscal deficits every year and to rack up new debt unless there is some kind of emergency. And so historically, Berlin's method of getting around this requirement was to set up these off-balance sheet funds that would have their own borrowing and spending authority but wouldn't be incorporated into the main budget where they would be subject to this balanced budget amendment. And two things have happened. First off, this 100 billion euro fund was set up as one of these special off-balance sheet funds. But unusually, they enshrined it in the Constitution. They actually passed a constitutional amendment that said, we are creating this special defense fund, which is explicitly going to be exempt from the balanced budget amendment. And then what happened is the highest constitutional court last November ruled that all of the other special funds were probably unconstitutional because they were designed as workarounds for this debt break or the balanced budget amendment. So what's going on right now is that the defense money is safe, and it is safe because there was such a broad bipartisan consensus in Germany that they needed to do this. There was enough support in the Bundestag, the national parliament, for them to pass a constitutional amendment in a way that there was not broad support for any of this other special money that they were tossing around. So you have this phenomenon where even though they now have a crisis where they're struggling to figure out how they're going to pay for all of the green spending and other disasters, recovery funds after flood disasters and that sort of thing. How are they going to pay for this honestly out of the main budget? But the one thing no one is talking about is cutting defense spending to pay for any of that. And that's also very important because this is an example of how the thinking in Berlin has changed so that even though they are facing this fiscal and political crisis over how to balance the budget and which priorities they're inevitably going to have to cut back on in order to get the numbers to work out with, no one seems to think that cutting defense spending is a viable solution to that problem. And I think that this is a significant change in Germany's political culture, the people are thinking this way now that they understand that the military is that important.
What can go wrong and why? Joe, I refer to the IMF expectation for 2024. The U.S. is doing extremely well at 2.7, more than double our G7 colleagues. However, Germany comes in the lowest of the great powers at 0.2. France is at 0.7, Italy is at 0.7, Japan's at 0.9. Even the, what you'd have to say, frail UK is at 0.5. Does that 0.2 put pressure on Mr. Scholz and the coalition to make changes of what you just said where it was written into law? They've got a growth problem, Joe.
Well, they do. And I think that this is going to be one of the main constraints on Germany's ability to pull its weight militarily within NATO in the years to come. They have got to get the German economy firing on all cylinders again. Do they know how to do that? Not at the moment, because somehow the political class doesn't quite seem to have figured out that a big part of their economic problem is this green energy transition that they continue to push ahead with, despite all of the evidence that it isn't really going to make much of a difference to global climate, and it's hamstringing the German economy while they push ahead with it anyway. So I think that this is going to be a big problem for them in the years to come. And I think that part of the solution on the military spending ultimately is going to have to be economic growth, and they haven't sorted this out yet. But you still have to give them credit for understanding that the solution for the military spending problem is to find more money to spend on the military, not to cut back on their commitment. So again, even though you can kind of see from afar that not all of the pieces are falling into place yet, that one really big piece of the puzzle is staying in place. They figured out that the military spending is going to have to stay there and everything else is going to have to fall into place around that.
When I read your column in English, I cannot read the German columns complaining or worrying about it, but I can read the London columns, the Times of London, your sister paper, The Telegraph, The Guardian. And what can the UK, whatever government is in power, at the moment it's the Tories, but we're anticipating the Labour any moment now, what can they learn from Germany? Because clearly Britain has a growth problem, Britain has a tax problem, and Britain has a military problem. How can they begin to learn from Germany?
Well, I think one of the problems that every European country has, and the U.S., frankly, also is very much in danger of experiencing this as well, military spending is not something you can flip on and off like a switch. I think that there was a dominant assumption after the Cold War that you could afford to scale back on your military expenditure, because if by some chance history had not ended and you did need to ramp up your military in the future, You could just open the money spigots again and poof, you'd have a military there. And they're discovering that that's not the case, actually. They have allowed their military industrial base to atrophy over the past couple decades. And so you have this multi-year process, once the money is there, of ramping up that production again. This is a problem in Germany. It's a problem in the UK. It is emerging as a major problem in the US. Part of this is that governments have to get in the habit of budgeting for militaries again. I think that Germany is discovering this is actually a multi-year process for a military procurement cycle. You can't just do it year to year and hope everything will work out. So there's definitely a learning process that needs to happen now that they've made the decision that we do need to invest in the military over the longer term.
Is the Labour Party, which is the once and future king, is the Labour Party having this discussion, Joe, or is that it for the future?
I think that there is some evidence that they are sort of a little bit kind of starting to have these discussions, but I think that for any political party, and particularly for parties of the center-left like Britain's Labour Party, it's really only the kind of thing you focus on once you are in power. My sense is that it's probably a bit too abstract for them at the moment to try to get a handle on. They will probably go through a phase of thinking that they can do more with less by just being more efficient. So there's going to be a learning cycle for them to realize that they do need to be prepared to devote more resources to the military. And that's going to happen in the UK. It's happening everywhere across Europe right now as well.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg. He's in London. He writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. He's a member of the editorial board. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.